Turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew this morning. I want to encourage you. My gift to you is encouragement this morning because I have a feeling that God is going to surprise bunches of us in these last days because God has a way of using nobodies for His glory. And we've been asking the Lord some questions through the participants in this Christmas story, Zacharias and Elizabeth. Certainly passed from the scene. Their big hurrah was the day in the holy place and at the birth of John the Baptist. And they passed off the scene. And then we talked about Mary and how she carried our Lord. Talked about the shepherds and what they must have gone through for 30 years, trying to convince people there really was a Savior that was born. And 30 years later, Jesus showing up on the scene. And I want to talk just briefly, just a few minutes this morning, about Joseph. And his question is, what's the right thing to do? And it occurs to me that over my lifetime, I know of serving Christ, and especially in the hour that we're living in, the end of the age, it can become very discouraging to us. What's the right thing to do? You know, everybody wants us to jump on this bandwagon or that bandwagon. We need to hate this person and love this organization and do this thing. What's the right thing to do? You know what the right thing to do is? Obey God. When all else fails, obey God. And Joseph, you know, Joseph was a guy that was just minding his own business. The Bible says he was a just man. There's only a couple of places that even mention him. And then, you know, later on, we don't hear from him at all. We hear from Mary a little bit once in a while. We hear about her at the wedding at Cana and at the cross. We don't hear a lot from her, and she at least gets a few verses in the Bible. She prophesies a little bit there when she's pregnant, and so we get to hear her heart. We don't hear anything from Joseph. There's not one quote from Joseph in the Word. This is a guy that was minding his own business. The Word of God says he was just. Well, let's read it. Matthew chapter 1. The birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took him to him, his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Of all the people that we've talked about this last few weeks, affected by the miraculous entry of God in human form, Joseph had it the toughest, in my opinion. My opinion, he had to, as a man, because it was a very man-oriented society that the world was then. And so as a man, he had to answer for his betrothed. Now, betrothal meant a lot more than engagement means today. When you were betrothed, that's just as if you were married. You just didn't go through with the consummation of the marriage. What happened was families would get together, you'd make a commitment to one another, the man would go off and do whatever he needed to do, and it usually lasted about a year, and then came back and claimed your wife. So the Bible says he was a just man, he was minding his own business, and he was challenged by this series of events. And I think you and I are not very much unlike Joseph. We're just people trying to make it. Turn around to somebody and say, you're just trying to make it. And we're what are we to think of what's going on in the world today? People that said they were going to serve God aren't serving God. People that are serving God aren't getting any of the attention. We as Christians are mocked, made fun of. Our Lord is mocked and made fun of. So what are we supposed to do with all of this? How are we supposed to act? Is anger the right thing? Are we supposed to try to change things by our anger or by the freedom that world gives us? But the Bible says to be silent. So we live in a free society, so nobody can say anything. I've got freedom of speech. I can say what I feel. But is it wise to do that? Is it wise to really say and pontificate on how I feel? Because if I put my feelings on paper, you might not like me or out my mouth. Come on, somebody. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, we've redefined in our generation, we've redefined stupid. We just have lost our brains. I think the only reason we have brains in our head, some of us, is just so our head won't cave in. We don't use it at all. Come on, somebody. We just lost common sense. Who would have known we've gotten to a place where babies conceived in the womb, it's the most dangerous place for a baby to be? Who would have ever believed that we could have counted on man and not God? God's nowhere in the picture. Here was Joseph, a guy that was just trying to, he was betrothed to Mary. He was just trying to build a business there. Whatever he was doing, he was going to go out and win whatever he says to go into his, build a house. He was building a house during that time. He's getting ready for his betrothed and to come live with him. And marriage was an honor. Marriage was what everybody wanted to do. It was what you were looking forward to. And here comes Mary, gone for a little while, and she comes back and she looks like she gained some weight. Mary, you've been eating. No, I haven't been eating. I'm with child. Talk about a world being turned upside down. He did, and the scripture says he was just, and he did not want to make a public example. He was a just man. That means equitable in the original language. Implication: innocent, holy, absolutely, or relatively. The Bible says he was just, he was wholly committed to God, and he was faced with some things because he was a man that was brought up in rabbinical school. He knew the law of Moses, and he knew that the other nations around him had some punishment for getting pregnant outside of marriage. In Egypt, they cut the nose off the woman. If you were pregnant outside of marriage, you got your nose cut off. In Persia, your nose and ears were cut off. It didn't take the baby. You just went, you had baby with no nose and no ears. And in Judea, and where he was living at, you stoned them. You dragged them out. You stoned them. Sometimes you stoned their whole family. So this wasn't any small decision Joseph was going through. You imagine the anguish that he had as a just man, as a man that followed the faith, as a man that followed the law of Moses. And the law of Moses said, you should take this woman. She's committed adultery. Take her out. But something was stopping him, see? And I don't think that we're so much unlike that right now, because we would like to see just how many sometimes, am I the only one that's ever prayed, God, could you just rain your judgment down on these people that aren't using this gray matter between their ears? Just one lightning bolt, God would straighten them right out. Rent the heavens, stick your head out and say, stop it. But he hasn't done that. He's left you and me here. And he's left us during a time where we should be contemplating and waiting to hear him, because Joseph was waiting, and he was waiting for God to speak. And he was just a guy. Many have tried to conjecture. You know, the film here says he was about 20. Some say he was an older man. After Christ was born, they had some other children. Joseph was older than Mary. Joseph established a business and probably passed away before Jesus coming out time, and when he was 30 years old. But he was just a guy. He was a guy that needed to hear what God was saying. And the angel of the Lord finally spoke to him in a dream. Now, there's a couple things I think about when I think about that. Well, is this a nightmare I'm having? What do you mean that she's pregnant with the Holy Spirit? Come on, somebody. That takes a leap of faith. Zacharias was told in the holy place The shepherds were announced when Christ was born, certainly, but Zacharias was told in the holy place that Elizabeth was going to be pregnant, and Mary also, and then Mary was visited by the angel, and she said, "How can this be when I don't know a man?" And Gabriel said to her, "Hey, you're going to be pregnant. The Holy Spirit will come upon you." And then Joseph, in his dream, the angel of the Lord speaks to him. How likely was it that he would even heed such a word? How many of us would have woke up and said, "Man, I should never have eaten that last slice of pizza." You don't get pregnant by just, a man and a woman come together and you get pregnant. Don't tell me anything about Holy Spirit and stuff. And God is speaking to us in our heart in this hour some things that are hard to believe. We've reached a place of impossibility in our nation. Come on, somebody. God can never turn this around. 58 million deaths, all kinds of stuff, homosexuality, nobody's using their brain. The White House has become the nut house. Come on, how is this ever going to happen? But God has a plan, see? See, if he had a plan when Jesus was born in a miraculous way by normal people... Joseph and Mary were just normal people. They weren't whacked out. They weren't famous people. They weren't anything. They were just normal people that God said, "I'm going to use you in my plan." And in this hour, when Christ is ready to return, he's going to use normal people to bring miraculous things about. We're looking for somebody famous, and God said, "I don't use famous people." 1 Corinthians, turn there quickly. Closing. 1 Corinthians. I want to encourage you today because God is going to use us in this hour. You don't know the people that you affect. I was in Mexico a few years ago, and I was asked to come up and pray for this couple, and somebody wanted me to prophesy, and I said, "I don't really have anything to say." And so I didn't. I didn't say anything. I don't want to just prophesy if God didn't give me anything. How many are there? And so, you know, we went through the service, and then afterwards we were praying, and I began to pray for this couple that I was asked to pray for an hour and a half before. And I began to pray, and a book opened up in front of me in the spirit. It's never happened to me before. Don't look at me like I lost my mind. I was in my right mind. A book opened to me, and I began to read what they were going through and what they were about to go through. And two or three times the page turned, and I just read what I was seeing on the page. It was powerful. And I realized, you know, I often think about that couple and I pray for them. That was a few years ago. I'm praying for that couple because I know that my intervention in their life, they're about ready to quit the ministry. They're in Mexico about ready to quit the ministry. But God said, "Don't quit. The greatest days are ahead." And somewhere in the annals of the heaven, in a book somewhere, it is written that I had part in that ministry. And why am I telling you that? They don't remember me. I don't remember what they look like. But God intervened in their lives and used just normal people to do extraordinary things. Verse 18, 1 Corinthians 1 says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the message... through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe." Verse 26, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise, not many according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen." Listen to this. Sovereignly, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. See, there's two ways that the angel addressed Joseph. And I want to go quickly, because we've had a morning. We've had a full morning. But the angel addresses in verse 20 there in Matthew, Joseph, son of David. He addresses him by name and reminds him who he is. And so the Holy Spirit's addressing you this morning, and it reminds you of who you are. You're a child of God. I said the other day, God doesn't have grandchildren. And God doesn't, you're not just an accident. You just didn't show up on this generation just from somewhere. God pinpointed you for His glory. Joseph, He says, son of David. Right away, Joseph's mind went to his lineage, to his heritage. And he's reminded, because the Christ child is coming from Mary, who comes from the same Davidic line, is coming. It reminds him of who he is. Christ is coming back, and he's coming back. My daddy is coming back for me. I'm part of the family of God. Come on, somebody. I don't care if I'm important in anybody else's eyes. I'm important in his eyes. Joseph's name means God will increase or God will add. He comes into juncture with his destiny. His destiny wasn't a carpenter. His destiny wasn't to be a just man with a pregnant wife that who knows where she came. That wasn't his. His destiny was to take care of his wife, make sure Jesus was taken care of, make sure he raised a family, make sure he was a... But the juncture of his life happened when the Word of God came to him. And if you listen close enough, my friend, if you don't do anything else, seek God for your purpose. Seek God for your purpose. Charles Swindoll, in his book, Living Above the Level of Mediocrity, I want to read this quote. It says, imagine, if you will, that you work for a company whose president found it necessary to travel out of the country and spend an extended period of time abroad. So he says to you and the other trusted employees, look, I'm going to leave. And while I'm gone, I want you to pay close attention to the business. You manage things while I'm away. I'll write you regularly. And when I do, I will instruct you in what you should do. And from now on until I return from my trip. And everyone says, okay. So he leaves and stays gone for a couple of years. During that time, he writes often. He communicates his desires and concerns. Finally, he returns. And he walks up to the front door of the company and immediately discovers everything is in a mess. Weeds flourishing in the flower beds, windows broken across the front of the building. Gal at the front desk is sleeping, loud music roaring from several offices. Two or three people engaged in horseplay in the back room. Instead of making a profit, the business has suffered a great loss. Without hesitation, he calls everyone together and with a frown asks, what happened? Didn't you get my letters? You say, oh yeah, sure. We got all your letters. We've even bound them in a book, and some of us memorized them. In fact, we have letter study every Sunday. You know, those were greatly, really great letters. I think the president would then ask, but what did you do about my instruction? No doubt the employees would respond, do? Well, nothing. But we read every one. Christ has left us with what we're supposed to do. If we don't do anything else, let us be just people in making sure that our family is taken care of, making sure our community is taken care of, making sure we are lights and salt in this hour, and wait on God, because God is going to get the glory. Zacharias, Elizabeth, the shepherds, all of those people passed on. Jesus got the glory. He could have never done what he did. He chose not to do what he did. Without the help of a human being. And in this hour, don't kid yourself, in this hour, God is going to use us. Why? Because that's what He does. He uses non-famous people. He uses lights. Praise God. All we're asked to do is to obey. So if you're doing what God told you to do, don't be pressured by anything else. If you could say, you know what? I've done what God's told me to do. God's told me to raise my kids. God's told me to be a good husband or good wife, a good employee, whatever. I'm doing what God's called me to do. And see, just obey. That's all. Joseph could have disobeyed. Joseph and somebody else could have. I don't know. History could have been rewritten if Joseph would have woken up from the dream and said, there's no way I'm marrying a pregnant woman. Just not going to do it. See ya. And somebody else's name would have been there. Might have been Mary and Hank. Come on, somebody. She didn't have a relationship with her anyway. But he said yes to God. That's all God's looking for. It's just a yes. See, someone said this. Instant obedience is the only kind of obedience there is. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Whoever strives to withdraw from obedience withdraws from grace. Come on, somebody. God is looking for obedience. That's all he's looking for. Father, in our endeavor to rejoice during this holiday season, in our endeavor as we get together with loved ones, in our endeavor as we cook and clean and wrap packages and wish each other a Merry Christmas, Father, Lord, let us think about our part in this end times, oh God. Let us think about our part as just as real as you came to a virgin and were born. And you lived your life, Father. Jesus, you were raised in a godly home. You died on a cross. You rose from the dead. You've established your kingdom. Just as you've done that, God, we are well aware that this hour you'll use us. As we bring forth what you've told us to bring in this hour, Father, I pray of all the activity that we do this week, Lord, let us seek. Let us set in our hearts the goal of knowing your will for our lives. And after that, Father, you get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.